from the Xfinity Studios at WVON. We're your original social media. You're listening to Art Chat Daddy Sims on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Thirty-five after the hour, right here on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM, WVON. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. I'm your host, Chat Daddy, back for another evening of your favorite entertainment magazine show here at WVON, where we talk about a little bit of this and a whole lot of that. But most importantly, we hope that each and every night you are relaxing, relating, and releasing whatever the stress and drama of your life. We ask that you please let it go. And if you're at work, continue to do enough work that you're able to keep your job, but keep listening to Real Talk, Real People. Let's give Dr. Dennis Woods another big round of applause. Wonderful way to close out National Mentoring Month, National Mentorship Month it is. And Dr. Woods, would love to see a lot of you all come out and help those wonderful foster children to see a great mentor and someone who can help them along in life. And so that's really great. I already know Joseph and our new intern, they're going to sign up, and we even might get Uncle Mal involved in
that. Yeah, he coming.
I know, that'll be wonderful. So please make sure you sign up and become a mentor. All right, so February is Heart Health Month. February is also Black History Month. And as you all know, February is also the big month of love. We do love and happiness on this show each and every day. But tonight we're welcoming to the show a new guest. You know, we have another Dr. Wendy who we have on, who's actually a mental health doctor out of Toronto. And we're lucky enough to have our very own Dr. Wendy here in Chicago tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, first time guest, known as Dr. Every Woman. Now, you know this is going to be a good segment. OB gynecologist Dr. Wendy Goodall McDonald. Good evening. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yay. See, we got an audience of you and everything.
I'm so excited.
So glad to have you here. Doctor, first of all, you're OB gynecologist,
yes.
But if I was a woman and walked in your office, you are just so, you're beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
But you look so young. I wouldn't even, like, I'd be like, wait a minute, I'm waiting on the doctor to come in.
They say that.
I'm sure they do. Yes.
They say, you're the doctor? Yes, ma'am. Sure
I
am.
Wow. So tell us who you are. You were born and raised here on the south side of Chicago. Give us the dirt on you.
Yes,
I love
I'll tell you everything. Because that's what we do. You know, we dish. So I am born and raised Chicago native. I'm from the south side of Chicago, from South Shore. Born to a father from West Virginia, a mother from Mississippi. You know, doesn't get much more Chicago than that.
No, not at all. Yes.
Went to the lab schools in Hyde Park for my elementary and high school. And I went to Xavier University of Louisiana. Shouts out to HBCUs in New Orleans for college. Went on to get my medical degree from Northwestern University and my training. So the way that it works, you do four years of college, 4 years of medical school, and then you have to do 3 to 5, depending on your specialty, years of residency. So I did my residency at Rush University Medical Center, which is on the, you know, kind of West Loop side of things. And now I practice. I'm in private practice at Northwestern.
Wow, very nice. Well, it's such an honor to have you here tonight.
Thank you.
And the one thing that I always try my very best to do during this Let's Talk Hour is bring my guests, some of the most informative guests ever, people who are able to share just great information with them. You know, as the host, I don't back away from anything. You'd be surprised. I've been crowned the queen of. I've been. You know, I go along with the flow. Now, with you being a gynecologist tonight, I don't know. I'm just going to have to ask you a couple of questions.
Nothing is
off
limits.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. I'm going to have to, because as a guy, I'm sitting there like, well, now the woman, you know,
let's do it.
Okay, let's do this. All right. So let's talk about the fact that February is Heart Health Month, but you're a gynecologist. So,
yes.
So now why would you care?
It's relevant. And it's funny because I told, as I was leaving my house, my husband, that I was going to be talking a little bit about heart health awareness. He says, "You and the heart." I said, "Trust me, sir. It actually matters in my community." It's funny because lots of women only see their gynecologist. There's a lot of women that only see their gynecologist as their doctor.
Okay.
You know, I think men, generally speaking, are going to see, if they go to the doctor, they're going to see an internal medicine doctor or a family doctor. And women will too, but there are plenty of women who treat their gynecologist as their family doctor or as their internal medicine doctor. And they come to me sometimes with earaches or with throat pain or with, you know, and I'm saying, I deal with your vagina. I don't actually know much about your throat, but I appreciate you having that confidence in me.
Okay. Oh, we love you already. We do. We really do. Okay.
But it's so I always, you know, I'm going to take their vitals. I'm always going to check their weight from year to year. And you can tell a lot about a person's heart health by some of these just basic things.
Really?
Is your blood pressure up?
Okay.
Have you gained a significant amount of weight? Are you breathing heavily and laboring and, you know, you're breathing?
Mm-hmm.
What's your cholesterol up to? When's the last time that was checked? And I can check those things. Do I manage those things? Not necessarily, but I can tell a woman, and I told a few this past week, you know, you probably need to go see your internal medicine doctor because this blood pressure is actually abnormal, and we may need to change, you know, your birth control, or we may need to do some other management in order to keep you safe.
Interesting. Okay, so that's good to know. High cholesterol,
mm-hmm.
high blood pressure, rapid weight gain.
Absolutely. Or even not necessarily rapid. You can see somebody over the course of a decade, you know, gain 50 pounds
okay.
easily. And that can slowly raise their blood pressure, slowly change, you know, the way that their vitals look. And so
now, you know, I was told once, and I don't know if this is true or not, but that if a woman who's not pregnant and she experiences swollen ankles all the
mm-hmm.
time, that was a sign of heart issue.
It can be.
Okay.
It's
all
not
right.
always.
Okay.
You know, because some women are going to have just some swollen ankles. Maybe they have a job that has them on their feet for long periods of time.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I can swell sometimes myself, you know. Long travel can also predispose a person or put somebody at risk to having some swelling of their legs. But it's also definitely, if a person's heart is not functioning well, they are going to what they call third space. Third spacing means that the fluid comes out of their bloodstream. Out of their bloodstream into other areas. And those areas could be their legs, you know, that
mm-hmm.
as far as the swelling, can also be their lungs.
Mm-hmm.
This is why people sometimes have challenges breathing, because they have fluid in their lungs that has made it out of their bloodstream.
Oh.
And that can be a factor that is related to heart failure, for sure.
Wow. Okay, so now, even though you are the gynecologist,
mm-hmm.
what type of doctor should these women go see? Should it be just their general doctor, or should they be making appointments to see a specialist? So you're saying maybe just take it back to your general
first.
Okay. All right.
First, because I think a general doctor or an internal medicine doctor is going to be able to decide what needs to happen next.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you just need to be on blood pressure medication, or do you need a full, you know, cardiologist to keep your heart, you know, healthy? They can send them for the test to get their heart checked, something called an echocardiogram or an EKG. They can start the workup. If I send you for an echocardiogram and I get the result back, I'm going to look at it just like you're going to look at it. Like, what does this say?
Okay.
Because I don't, you know, this is not my wheelhouse. Not to say that I've never seen an echo result, but I don't know what to do with it.
You know
but
what?
An internal medicine doctor would.
I'm so glad you're saying that, because people really do think that all doctors, and a lot of times they say, oh, no, you're being standoffish, or what you mean you can't? And
mm-hmm.
I get that. So what a doctor specializes
mm-hmm.
in is what they specialize
That's
in.
That's right.
Okay. It's kind of like me and what I do. Okay.
Exactly.
Yes, I get
or
that.
Or like a mechanic. You know, some mechanics are, you know, really good with the you know, the engine. But then you have others that specialize in the brakes and the tires. You know,
right.
there's some mechanics I think have, you know, their wheelhouse. And I think the doctors can be the same way.
Okay. Very mm-hmm. good. Now, this is something I was very surprised about when I got all the information about you, your bio and everything, that women are actually afraid to talk to their doctors.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a guy thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
we were talking about that in opening
mm-hmm.
monologue tonight, but really, women,
mm-hmm.
I always thought that, you know, women were the best communicators with their doctors. No?
I think that it's true to a degree. I think that probably if you had to compare men to women, women probably do communicate a little bit better. They
okay.
come and they do get, you know, their problems answered, or questions answered.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, some things feel stigmatized, you know, like I shouldn't have an odor, or what is this bump, or what is this lesion, you know, that I don't know what it is. I feel like sometimes women get nervous about, what does this say about me? What is she going to think about me?
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I say to my patients is, first of all, I'm really nosy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get in all your business. I'm
okay.
going to ask every question. You
oh,
know?
Good.
So we, you know, just be comfortable with the fact that I'm going to know everything by the end of this visit.
Uh-huh.
But I also tell them, you know, that they should not think of me as their girlfriend. I mean, they can to a degree, mm-hmm. but I'm also there to take care of them. Mm-hmm. So if they have something new that we need to discuss or we need to check out, then they need to just tell me about it and not be shy, not keep out details. You know, let's talk about it. And a lot of things that have, you know, maybe social stigma don't have medical stigma. You know, I'm not going to look down on you if you're diagnosed with, you know, a certain STD. I'm going to treat it. You know, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you how to maybe minimize your risk of getting it again. But I'm not going to now be like, oh, she had chlamydia. Like, mm-hmm. you'd be surprised how many women out here had chlamydia. You'd be, right. you know, you'll be yeah. all right. You
okay.
know what I mean?
Right. So it's okay. So don't be ashamed.
Don't
talk
be ashamed.
To your doctor.
Talk to your
say
doctor.
It.
We this is what we do. We're mm-hmm. happy to do it. We're happy. That's why we're here.
Okay.
You know, and even, you know, I have my ladies. I wrote a song. I told you I do songs sometimes. But I wrote a song about you know, women coming to the doctor and being afraid if they hadn't shaved. They always
oh,
tell me this.
Okay.
They said, well, I didn't groom, I didn't shave, oh my God, don't look. And I'm like, oh, I do not care. I actually do not
right.
care.
Right. Yeah,
in
that,
the least.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
There are more important things that I worry about than whether or not you have, you know, you have trimmed the hedges down there.
Right.
So,
okay.
But there are just things that, you know, maybe generally a person thinks are important that we don't think are important at all.
And that's what I was getting ready to say, because this is what you do every day for a living. Mm-hmm. And so if a woman comes in and she goes to tell you, you know, nymphomaniac or whatever mm-hmm. the case may be, so mm-hmm. you've heard these stories.
Absolutely. Or I've heard, you know, where now I'm concerned I might have a new discharge. Was there anything, you know, you're married. Is there any concern for any, you know, infidelity or anything in the relationship? You know, and well, no, he's not doing anything, but I am. Girl, tell me. Let's talk about it. I would need to know who's doing what. Where could we potentially have gotten something? Because if you have this, then now this person needs to be treated. That person needs to be treated. I'm not judging your relationship. You know, you do
right,
you. But I
right.
need us to be safe. You
okay.
know what I'm saying?
And be on top of
exactly.
your information. Okay. All right. Very good. Now, when we come back, well, no, let's continue to keep talking. What made you want to go into being an OB gynecologist? Maybe I should ask that, because really, you do have a personality of like a rock star sitting here. So that's why I'm like, what even made you want to? I mean, you know, it's quite an honor to be a doctor, and it touches my heart, and I'm sure my listening audience as well, too. I love to see us, our skin color as doctors. I really
yes.
do. It makes my heart sing. But, you know, really, I could see you being a rock star. Yeah. What made you want to become an OB-GYN?
I do have my inner alter ego.
Okay.
My inner Sasha Fierce, as I like to call her. Mm-hmm. That name's taken, but it's okay. As a child, I was probably a kindergartner. I told this story in my book. I just published a book last month, and I told the story in it about how, because people say, why are you a gynecologist? It almost seems like, ooh, why would you want to do that? And I was a kid. I was probably in kindergarten. One of my best friends, her mom was an OB-GYN. Her mom was a gynecologist. And I remember this is a crazy story, but go with me. There was this body wash that you could, it was colors. It was like blue and red, and you could draw on your washcloth like pictures. You know, the commercials
sure,
always make stuff.
Yeah.
They draw on sailboats and all the stuff on the pictures, and then you take a shower or bath or whatever with the stuff. And I thought that was so cool. Now I'm drawing my little picture, and it looks like, you know, SpongeBob before SpongeBob was cool, you know, and I'm like, what is this? But I got irritated. You know, I got personally irritated.
Oh, from the wash.
But I didn't know it was from the wash. I'm like, what is going on? And she started asking me questions. She said, you know what, Wendy? You may not be able to use that. You may be
oh.
one of these women who is sensitive to certain things, and you may not be able to put, you know, red, green, blue body wash in these, you know, around these personal places.
Okay.
And in that moment, I said, this is this woman's profession. Her profession, her job is to know everything she can know about the female body
mm-hmm.
and to help women get through certain situations. What better job could a person have than to be a master of their body and someone else's? Like, that was amazing. And to that day, my father to this day says that I knew the bones of the body before. I remember even saying, he said, I used to recite all the bones of the body. They would give me different little programs or different little, this is before computer programs were really popular, but they would give me little things that you could kind of match up the bones of the body into where they go. I had a little model that was
did you have a game operation?
I had the game operation.
Yeah.
No, I had that operation
yeah,
game.
We
no,
loved
I did.
Operation.
No, I had operation.
Yeah, we love
operation. We had this other body that you could just like take the bones out, you know, as an actual physical thing and put them mm-hmm. back. You put a little, you know, pregnant woman's, you know, uterus in there. And I was a kid and I was just fascinated by this stuff. So.
And then another thing too, you bring life into this world. You actually bring, you know, I love it.
I delivered a baby this morning.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right. So when we come back from break, we're going to take a trip down below the belly button and above the kneecaps. We're going to talk about the vagina.
Let's Let's do it.
We're going to talk about the vajayjay.
What I'm excited about is the fact that we're saying vagina so many times on this show.
Oh, yeah. On this show, they used to it. They look, these people,
and we can have plenty of big names. I'm cool with that, too. But
Oh, Lord. Okay. You're listening to, we love you, Dr. Wendy. We do. You're listening to the Wednesday night edition of Real Talk, Real People. When we come back, we're going to talk about healthy vagina. We'll be back in just a moment. 53 after the hour, right here on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM, WVON. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. I'm your host, Chat Daddy, back for another evening of your favorite entertainment magazine show here at VON, where we talk about a little bit of this and a whole lot of that. But most importantly, we hope that each and every night you are relaxing, relating, and releasing whatever that stress and drama in your life. We ask that you let it go. And if you're at work, continue to do enough work that you're able to keep your job and keep listening to Real Talk, Real People. We're in the middle of our Less Talk Hour, and tonight our guest is Dr. Every Woman. That is her superhero name, Dr. Every Woman. She is Dr. Wendy Goodall McDonald. She's here with us tonight. She's an OB gynecologist, and Dr. Every Woman is here to talk about a healthy heart, because February is Healthy Heart Month. And black women and just getting themselves together and understanding things a little bit better. If any of you all have any questions at the top of the hour, 773-591-1690, we'll open up the phone lines and let you talk to Dr. Wendy tonight about any questions that you may have. Dr. Wendy, you're doing a great job. Glad to have you here.
Oh my goodness, this is great.
Are you kidding me? You're a ray of sunshine.
Oh, man.
And I just love it. I really, really do.
Yay.
And so you delivered a baby this morning.
This morning. I left my house at midnight, and I got back home around 6 a.m.
Wow.
She's a little sweet baby.
Okay.
And I got my babies up.
Right. And so you're the mom of three.
Yes.
And so now let me ask you this. In a course of a day, how many babies would you deliver? Is it like one day, like, baby, I can't, when you come home, honey, I deliver 24 babies today. And then, you know, some days might be a slow day. I mean, how does that work?
Well, so the way that our practice works, there are three of us who deliver babies.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are three of us who deliver babies. And we take a call. We actually do, rotation with our call. So this morning, you know, I my call ended at 7 a.m. But there'll be 24 or 48 hour calls that you may deliver, you know, one baby, or you may deliver seven or eight babies. So it really can vary. Every day is different. Every day is a surprise.
Okay. All right. Very good. So now, before we went to break, we were talking about, we're getting ready to talk about the most important thing of them all, the vagina.
The vagina.
Okay. Now, let's talk about healthy and whatnot and who not and all that. Well, let's see if we can get this music turned down just a second. I think he grabbing the phone real quick. Anybody there? Oh, okay. All right. So go ahead.
So a couple things to know about your vagina. It is what we call that self-cleaning oven. You know, they say that the vagina is, you know, you can put certain things in it to clean it or to fix it, but it doesn't need to be fixed. It doesn't need to be cleaned. You know, a person can have infections, a person can have irritation or odor or something like that, and there are things that we can do about that as a gynecologist. But it's also, you know, not something that you just need a maintenance, you know, freshen upper, you know, that goes in the vagina, whether it's, you know, there's different things that people say, put, you know, Yoni pearls in the vagina, or put, you know, periodically. I had a patient who said that she would soak a cotton ball in peroxide and put it in there every so often, and I'm like,
please don't do that. Wait. So now, one thing we've learned on this show over the course of years of me hosting this show, that we cannot put sugar in the vagina.
No, please don't put sugar.
People
do that more for recreation, though. They're not doing that to fix anything. They're doing that to just have a good time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, but still, we was told that sugar in the vagina is not good.
That's on the list.
Okay, all
right.
It's
on the list of things not to do.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. So now, wait a minute. She says she would take a cotton ball with
peroxide
on it and put it up in
her. And try to convince me. And I was like, you're not going to get me to co-sign that. I will not accept that.
So what did she think that...
She thought she was getting rid of an infection, and it was, you know, antibacterial. And the theory was not unreasonable, but in practice, it just doesn't work that way. You know, your vagina does need a certain amount of bacteria. You know, I recently had likened the vagina to an ecosystem, almost like a jungle. If you go in there and you say, well, man, this one weed is overgrowing, you don't go and take a lawnmower and buzz up the whole place. You know, you're going to kill the good stuff and the bad stuff. And then you don't know what's going to start growing back, because usually this keeps that in check and that keeps this in check. And, you know, you don't want to just, you know, level the whole thing. You know what I mean? And that's what douching does and certain things like that. It just levels the whole little forest in there.
Makes everything the proper pH balance.
The pH balance. The pH balance, and you want certain bacteria to thrive.
Okay.
And you want other bacteria to kind of be, you know, kept at bay.
Right.
But you have to do that systematically. If the situation is thrown off by something that's a little too aggressive, then you don't solve the problem. You may momentarily feel fresher.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I saw a post about putting a cucumber in the vagina periodically to reset the pH. And I almost left social media because I was just very, you know, taken aback by the idea that a cucumber could reset your vaginal pH, especially since cucumbers don't have an acidic pH that's even pro-vaginal health, you know. There's nothing acidic or nothing that's pro, you know, normal pH about a cucumber.
Now, I've been hearing stories about women who go and have their vaginas tightened up. Mm. Like you can have a VJJ face. I guess that's a lift of sorts. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So when we come back from national news, we have a call on the live line that has a question about childbirth.
Okay.
And then I want to kind of talk about the vagina
tightening and lifting and changing.
Nip and tuck. On your VJJ, right, on your VJJ. Oh, boy. Lord, I'm blushing.
Right.
Oh, Lord. Right. I'm sitting here. This is the most talk I've had about a vagina in a long time.
Let's do it.
You're listening to the Wednesday night edition of Real Talk, Real People. Well, we want to just keep your vagina right. We'll be back in just a moment.
He's charming. He's funny. He knows everybody. He is Art Chat Daddy Sims. And he's only on WVON. Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
You're listening to Art Chat Daddy Sims on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
PM right here on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM, WVON. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. I'm your host, Chat Daddy, back for another evening of your favorite entertainment magazine show here at VON. As you guys all know, tomorrow is Relationship Thursday, and you know I'm very excited when it comes to Relationship Thursday. Also, tomorrow's the first day of Black History Month. And I have another great show planned for your listening pleasure. Yes, Joseph, what were you getting ready to say?
I was saying she should have been on here for Relationship Thursday.
I know. We're going to have Dr. Wendy back. We love her. We are besties now. Look, I don't have a vagina and feel healthy just from this conversation. I don't. I do. I feel so healthy right now. I really do. Tomorrow night, I'll welcome to the show New York Times best-selling author and 2001 NAACP Image Award recipient for Outstanding Literature in Fiction. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be welcoming to the show tomorrow night the legendary Mr. Omar Tyree. As you guys all know, he was the man with his books, and his books included Boss Lady, Fly Girl, Do Right Man, and the list goes on and on. So Omar will be here tomorrow night to talk to us about fashion, music, his literary work. But I'm really proud to have this young man on the show with us tomorrow night to talk about his epic career. And then, as you know, I started a series on couples. And so tomorrow night I'll welcome another couple to the show to talk about their marriage and what does it take to stay strong in a marriage, because they've suffered a lot of tragedies from losing loved ones to even the death of a child.
Wow.
And so we're going to talk about how do you maintain that love when you're going through so many tragedies.
That's
and their tragedies were back to back. And a lot of times tragedies separate people instead of bringing them close together.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you tune into the Thursday night edition. You know, I come on at 6:35 p.m. tomorrow night after the Urban Business Roundtable hosted by Mekhi Brown. Hello, Mekhi. And tomorrow night we'll do it like we've never done it before. Kick off Black History Month and celebrate love. I cannot wait to welcome Omar Tyree to tomorrow night's show. All right, so in studio with me right now is our new bestie, Dr. Wendy Goodall McDonald, known as Dr. Every Woman.
Yes.
And Dr. Wendy is talking to us because February is Heart Health Month, and she's going to give a couple of tips on things that women should know, and we'll save that for a little bit. Let's go to the live line, Dr. Wendy. Are you good so far?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
We love you. You funny, good, all of that. Let's talk to Bree on the South Side. Good evening, Bree. Thanks for holding, and welcome to the show. How are you?
I am good, and I'm excited. I love this show. I downloaded the iHeartRadio app just for it, and I hate apps, so that's awesome.
Thank you. We appreciate you so much, Bree. You have a question for Dr. Wendy?
I do. I have a question for Dr. Goodall about childbirth. Particularly, there's a newer trend for water birth. So not with all the shots and in the hospital with the epidural. It's in a clinic. It's in you labor in a water tub, and you don't take in any drugs. It's natural, but it's augmented with the water, so it reduces the pain, and then you still do all the Lamaze and everything. I've really only been informed about it through YouTube and all those anecdotal sources, but anytime I bring it up to anybody in real life, they get a look on their face like, what am I trying to do? So my concern for me and, you know, for my husband is, who is a water birth right for, I suppose? I'm in my early 30s. I'm in generally good health. And besides, I was told by my gynecologist that I had a narrow cervix. So there was that. But other than that, I'm in generally good health. I'm not of a certain age. And I think it would be a great way to avoid an epidural, which I'm concerned about that pain, but I also have a fear of an episiotomy. I really don't want that. So who is a water birth right for? And then I'll get off the line.
Okay, Bree, we love you so very much, and thanks for calling in with that great question, okay?
Bree, you gave me a whopper, man.
Yeah,
man,
I love it, though.
Me. Okay, let me hit all of these points.
Okay.
Okay, so first of all, let me start at the beginning, that you probably were told by your gynecologist that you have a narrow pelvis. You know, this is one of those things that, as myself, I don't usually make that claim these days anymore. There was a day years and years and years ago, decades ago, where it was a part of our training to decide, you know, if a person had a pelvis that was adequate to deliver a baby vaginally. Mm-hmm. A lot of the data has shown that we're not very good at that. We're not very good at predicting that. We can say a person's, you know, pelvis is too narrow and meanwhile they deliver a 9-pound baby. Or we can say a person's pelvis is, you know, adequate, as we say, and then they have trouble getting out a 6-pound baby. So I don't put too much weight in somebody's determination of the size of your pelvis. I want to hit the episiotomy thing real fast. Episiotomies used to be routine. They are no longer routine.
Okay, so now real quick for those
what
of
is
us
that?
That yes,
what
please.
Is that? So
okay.
That's when, as you're delivering a baby, the doctor would cut in order to make room for the baby. We used to believe decades ago that if you cut, you actually decrease the severity of the tear, or that the tear is more controlled. You know, every woman generally is going to tear. Most women are going to tear, so you kind of control it. What we learned actually with a lot of studies and data is that that's actually not true.
Okay.
When you cut, you actually sometimes worsen the tear because you have now broken almost the seal on this thing, and it can kind of tear worse. So most people are not going to get an episiotomy these days. I probably cut maybe one or two a year, and that's in an emergency.
Okay.
And I deliver, you know, hundreds of babies. So this is not something that's routine. So that part, I would take that one out of your concern as well, especially as it relates to an epidural. Okay, so but to your main point, which was water birth. I don't know why I thought it had to.
Oh, I love that. That was good. That
needed,
was good.
You know, it needed something.
On this show, you know, we do like that. Right. Whatever. Yeah. Yes.
So I have a theory. My theory is that no baby can come out too quickly, especially a term baby, a preterm baby. Sure. That baby can come out too quickly, but a term baby, a baby that has made it around their due date, is old enough to be delivered, cannot come out too quickly. A baby can be delivered in a cab. You know,
we've seen
on a kitchen floor,
expressway,
on a highway. A baby can come on out. If that's what they want to do, come on out. The problem is not the baby that comes out quickly. It's the baby that gets stuck. That's the problem. That's the baby that gives me a gray hair.
Gotcha.
Is the one that's not coming out. Okay. I have no problem with a woman laboring in a tub. I deliver my babies at Northwestern. That's our hospital. And we have tubs there for women to labor in. As long as the baby looks good, heartbeat-wise, a woman can labor in the tub all that she wants. And there is data that suggests that actual pain relief with the tub is actually not, there's not evidence to say that it's substantially better.
Okay.
Women can say that they feel better, but when they did like studies with pain scales and that kind of thing, we don't actually have definitive data that it reduces their pain substantially. But I'm still okay with it. I'm saying if you want to be in the tub and your baby allows this and it's not looking like it's of, you know, concern for danger, get in that tub, enjoy yourself. But when it's time for that baby to come out, You get about that tub. At the end of the day, what you're going to remember is not, you know, did I deliver my baby in the tub? It is, did my baby come out safely? If that baby gets stuck, and now I have literally seconds while oxygen deprivation is occurring, while there are complications that can be arising in that moment the baby is coming out, and that can potentially lead to long-term complications for that baby and for you, you would care less if you were in a tub or not. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day. At the end of the day, you want a safe baby. So when it's time to deliver the baby, you got to get up out the tub because I need to be able to react and respond to what's happening. The baby slides on out. Enjoy that. Have a good time. And that's another thing you missed. She mentioned, Bree, you mentioned delivering in a, you know, a birthing center. Again, you can deliver in a cab if the baby comes on out. But if the baby gets stuck, the birthing center cannot deal with emergencies. The birthing center cannot, you know, save your baby in a crisis. I'm going to bring up Serena, Serena Williams.
That's right.
Like, I know her. I'm going to bring up Serena. That's all right. My girl, Serena.
I thought I saw you at the wedding.
You know what I'm saying? No, but Serena, you know, had a C-section. Who would have thought that one of, arguably the most athletic woman.
As fit as she is. That's
arguably the most athletic woman in the world would need a C-section. She had a C-section because she needed it for an emergency for the baby. The baby's heart rate went down, and it was an emergency C-section for what we call fetal intolerance to labor. And she loves and is loving on that sweet little baby. Could care less at this point that that baby did not come out of her vagina. You know,
gotcha.
At the end of the day, safety is key. And if the baby slides on out, great. But if it doesn't, I need to be able to react, to respond, and I need to be able to do that at a hospital. And I need to be able to do that outside of that water. I'm not diving in that tub.
I was going to say, you got to put on scuba diving gear, all
of
that.
Right. Yes, you have
I know. I'm with you on that. I thought about the same thing, too. I'm like, look, I'd have to put on, I'd have to tie my hair up.
And you know what I'm saying? But then again, it's not about me. It's about you. And it's about you and your baby. And at the end of the day, that's what you want. Safe and healthy child. That's all that matters.
That's what you want. Okay. Now, before we have to run the break, and you're going to give these heart tips when we come back.
Okay.
I want to get back to the vajayjay lift, tuck, all that. I've been hearing a lot about that. Yes.
I'm going to give you a quick and dirty on that one.
Okay.
A quick and clean. So, you know, the tightening of the vagina is a challenging phenomenon. A lot of times after over years and after having babies, the vagina can have some laxity, some looseness. And people talk about putting astringents and vinegars in the vagina to tighten it. Not really a lot of evidence that that actually works. There are like surgeries that can be done to tighten the vagina. I'm not a huge fan of those unless a woman really has a substantial kind of like, you know, enlargement of the vagina. And sometimes the problem they have is not so much sexual, it's prolapse. It's part of the, you know, bowel is coming down, a part of the bladder is coming down, a part of the uterus is coming down. Then surgeries may be necessary to lift everything back up and to kind of close up the opening a little bit.
Okay.
But most of the time it's not necessary unless, again, those complications arise. There are laser therapies that can be done to tighten the vagina. And a lot of them do work, but again, it kind of comes down to how much does it bother you? How much are you willing to spend to take care of that? We don't even do those laser therapies in my office, but I know places where women can have them done. But a lot of the products that are put in the vagina to tighten them, those don't really have a lot of evidence. So I don't really recommend that women use those.
So now, guys, we have Kinkle muscles. Do women have
Kegels? Yeah, the Kegels. Yeah, the Kegels. And so Kegel muscles are the squeezing like that you do when you're trying to hold back your urine.
Right.
Or the squeeze you do when you have that gas you don't want to let out right then. You know, you squeeze it up, you know. That's a Kegel muscle. And that's the Kegel exercise to do that repeatedly, you know, 2 to 3 times a day. Maybe do those, you know, 10 times in a row, 2 to 3 times a day. And those are really good for stopping you from leaking urine, losing urine, losing, you know, gas, that kind of thing. They're not really intended to tighten the vagina. They're just intended to control those muscles and control the loss of urine or the loss of gas.
Okay.
And somewhat support the vagina, but again, not necessarily tighten it, you know?
Okay. Like somebody come to your office and you doing an exam, can you be like, girl, you done had a lift? Can you, or you didn't? Is it? Can you tell, like, as a doctor, and you know, she went and had something done?
Not usually, but I will say this. I had a patient recently who is, you know, menopausal, and she's with a man who's a little bit younger. And she said to me, you know, I was newly seeing her. She had previously been seeing another gynecologist. And so she said that the her previous gynecologist, she had asked him why was, you know, her partner said her vagina felt, like, tighter than it used to, you know. And he said, this is what the gynecologist said, tell him you're welcome. That's menopause.
Oh,
you're welcome. tell them you're welcome. It's menopause, because as the estrogen goes down, sometimes there is a tightening of the vagina that happens then, which often actually causes pain for some women because there is like almost like a narrowing to a discomfort level that occurs after menopause. But if a woman already had a kind of enlarged vagina, then it can maybe make it back somewhat to normal.
So, what are you going to do?
To each his and her own, you know what I mean?
Ooh, Lord, I didn't faint. Now, look, let me get this right. I made it through. I love you. I really, really do. And these people love you, too, because these phone lines, they ain't moved. When we come back, yes, sir. Whoa, boy, yes.
No, we over here laughing. We's like, so is that why they call it menopause?
Menopause.
I was thinking about all these cougars out here trying to find them a young man. Now that's what it looks. I'm like, oh, now all this makes sense. Now these cougars done got them a new life.
Maybe that's what it is.
Mama done rejuvenated herself. Mama done got a new. You're listening to the Wednesday night edition of Real Talk, Real People. Gone cougar. I ain't mad at you, girl. Go on, get all you can. We'll be back in a moment. 25 after the hour, right here on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM, WVON. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. I'm your boy, Chad Daddy, back for another evening. Yep, we've had a great conversation so far with Dr. Wendy Goodall McDonald. She's known as Dr. Every Woman. And Dr. Wendy, we just love you. South Shore native.
You too.
Born and raised right here, has a practice at Northwestern Hospital, OB gynecologist, just been a ball of energy on tonight's show. Dr. Wendy, we really do want to get back to heart health.
Yes.
And there are some things that you really do want women to pay attention to, and I'm going to turn the mic over to you.
So a few things, you know, women don't often know this, but heart disease is the main cause of death in women, actually in men as well in the United States. It's the number one cause. You know, the second, of course, is, you know, breast cancer, and then there's lung cancer, but heart disease is high up there. People don't often think, especially of women, as having, you know, heart problems, but it's definitely very common. Mm-hmm. So what I want women to know coming away from the show is that the symptoms can be often very silent. You know, they can be very subtle and very silent. You should know if you don't know what your blood pressure is, you should know what your blood pressure is, because you may not know if it's high. You may not feel, you know, I know my body. I feel when it's high. You don't know necessarily that it's high, you know, unless it's really you're at the end game where your like heart is failing. You want to know before things get that bad. You also want to, you know, have some small goals. Set some small goals. It's the beginning of the year. You know, we should start off trying to exercise. Ideally, you know, 5 days a week, 30 minutes a day of light exercise is reasonable. It's attainable. You know, a person can do, you know, a speed walk or try to hit a class, you know, maybe even start off with 3 days a week, you know, and that's going to help to bring the heart into better standing. Also, weight loss. People often have these huge goals. I want to lose 50 pounds. You know, maybe lose five, you know, maybe lose five in the next 6 months. And then maybe lose five more in the next 6 months. You know, if you start with small goals, one, it's much more tangible. And two, in the long run, you're going to be in better health, as opposed to having these, you know, really high reaching goals. And then the next thing you know, you didn't get to the goal that you wanted. And now you just gave up all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Small goals.
Small goals.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Who is that?
Is that
you? I'm like, oh, that's you lecturing. All right. I'm like, small goals. So get that exercise in. Know what your blood pressure is all about. Stop letting things stress you out. What else you want them to know?
I want them to. That was funny. My phone just decided to talk to us, and that's cool. It wanted
to
be part of the conversation.
Been doing that too.
What did you do? What they talking about?
Okay. Yeah, have you updated it?
I might need to.
Yeah,
or
you need
to
do all that. Cause mine's been acting a fool too.
Crazy. But you know, some people will need to be on a baby aspirin every day.
What is the whole thing behind the baby aspirin? Mm-hmm.
And not everybody. So don't go out there buying the baby aspirin, because I said Dr. McDonald said, you know, buy baby aspirin. You know, some women or some people, it helps to keep the blood circulation flowing better.
Okay.
And it can actually, there's more science to it than that. It actually just increases your longevity. It decreases your chances of having heart attacks. And it's not just because of like blood clots or blood thinning, but there is an actual, you know, probably deeper than my level of understanding, you know, kind of benefit. But then there are some people who do have, you know, some stroke risks and that kind of thing that shouldn't be on a baby aspirin. So it's worth talking to your doctor and saying, is this something that, just like I take my multivitamin, you know, which is here or there, whether or not a person should do that every day, but that a baby aspirin can sometimes, you know, increase your longevity, increase your lifespan.
Wow.
You know? Yep. So that's something to know.
All right.
And those are the big things, you know, subtle weight loss. If there's a weight situation or concern there, and just that physical activity, you know,
physical
those things
activity,
can
at least 30 minutes a day.
Ideally, 30 minutes a day, you know, four to 5 days a week should be the goal.
Okay.
And I think that's a tangible goal.
Very good. Well, Dr. Wendy, we do. We love you. You definitely will be back. You are a new fan favorite. Tell us how we can follow you, all that, your book, all that good stuff.
Yes. Yeah, so I am, I'm on Facebook just as myself, Wendy Goodall McDonald, but you can always find me everywhere, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, under Dr. Every Woman, DR Every Woman, so at DR Every Woman, all of them are the same. And my website is DrEveryWoman.com. It's DR Every Woman, or even Doctor, you can spell it out, DrEveryWoman.com. Mm. All of my information is there. I do have a YouTube channel. If you search Dr. Every Woman, you'll find that, and I have a lot of music videos about health and wellness. And I did publish a book last month, woohoo, excited about that, which is called It Smells Just Like Popcorn.
Oh,
which is my favorite question I've ever been asked about a person's vagina.
Look, we got to run, but I want to show no. Vagina why? Smells like popcorn.
Well, that
popcorn?
Was her concern. She said, "Why, Doc? Why does my
is
vagina smell like popcorn?"
And caramel?
And
is it butter?
Do you eat Orville Winterbottom-Rottenbacher? What are we talking about? She said, "I really eat popcorn, but it kind of smells like buttered popcorn." That's what she said.
The woman said, we definitely gonna have to have you back." Oh, Lord. I've been on this earth a long time, and they never know it was like buttered popcorn.
There are worse things your vagina can smell like.
Okay. All right. Well, we definitely will be having you back. Ladies and gentlemen, please give our guest a huge round of applause. We love her so very much. Dr. Wendy Goodall McDonald,
OB
Gynecologist, Northwestern Hospital. Dr. Every Woman is how you find her on every social media platform. Yes, I will have Dr. Wendy back. I promise you guys. This is a great segment.